This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Jay Dingy.
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How are things back in Mississippi?
They are great. Dude, they are insane. They are insane.
Yeah? That's good, man.
It's just a lot going on, dude, but things are good. Yeah, it's just a lot of moving parts right now. You know, I was discussing with some friends earlier today just how the last year has been awesome. It's been wonderful, but there's been so many changes and I'm having a little trouble keeping up. And so I just flying by the seat of my pants and Orlick Golden Slice is ministering to my spirit. It is my best friend. Yes. It is smoked by all shrewd judges and by all struggling tobacconists.
Right. So, right.
No, but it's,
oh man, you got that Golden Slice getting you through the day. I understand that.
That's right, man. No, it's funny. We're doing a lot of projects around our house right now. I know we're not going to, you know, have the ability to do a lot of this stuff once baby Cole gets here. And so, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, take care of some last minute things. It's, you know, got contractors coming in and out and been doing some work myself. And man, my Orlick is just, it's my go-to, man. When I'm ready to do like hard labor, like manual labor, you know, it goes well with
right.
Just hot weather. And it just tastes like a sweet reward for hard work. So anyway, it's been getting me through, baby, but things are good. Yeah. What's going on in Houston, man?
I got to mention this because was it last night? But it was probably about 2 nights ago. My wife and I had the opportunity to kind of go out, do a little night on the town, that sort of thing. As you will come to discover here pretty soon, when you got kids and you're able to get a sitter, you actually go out. Like before you have kids, you never do anything because you're like, why? Let's stay at home. But now it's like, no, get out of the house. Let's go. Let's discover some things, especially in a new town. Back in when we first looked at Houston, one of the first things I did when I was searching out what to do in town, you know, I'd search out, you know, where the big pipe shops, of course, but I also wanted to learn more about theater because I was a theater kid growing up. I always loved stage and theater and that sort of thing. And on the podcast before, I've mentioned that when I was up in New York a while back, I experienced the immersive play Sleep No More, which was this really trippy psychedelic experience that, like, you know, would never fly in Mississippi, would never play in Jackson. You know what I mean? And so with Houston being a bigger town, I thought, you know, I'm going to look into this. I wonder if there's any immersive theater. And the closest thing that I could find at the time was something called Strange Bird Immersive and their, I guess, experience called The Man from Beyond. And
okay,
it's not necessarily immersive theater. It's more akin to an escape room, but it's like this blend of an escape room and an immersive theater. And it's phenomenal. Like it's really very unique. And so I just want to like give like them a shout out because we had an amazing time while we were there. And for anybody in kind of the Houston area and kind of central surrounding areas, if you've never checked it out, it's pretty sweet. Have you ever done escape rooms, John David?
I haven't, but you know, I'm pretty well familiar with them. So what, tell me if someone showed up to this, thing, what'd you call it again?
Strange Bird Immersive is the company and the experience is called The Man from Beyond.
So if someone showed up for that, what would they experience?
Yeah. Okay. So man, I don't want to spoil it, but basically you go in and it's, one of these, what do you call them? Mediums or the people that have the cards and they do your like tarot reading or whatever.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
So it's this madam who's she'll go and she'll do your fortune. And she pulls out one of these like fake books that you open up and it's got a secret compartment in it. And it contains a test tube that says drink me with a cocktail in it. And then also kind of some instructions to like look for clues around the room. And then once the entire group is present, then you kind of go into this back hall and into the room, the main area where the rest of the evening takes place. And it's, again, I don't want to spoil it, but I just want to say that, like, honestly, I would highly recommend it. If you love escape rooms, if you're into theater, or if you're ever looking for something like that, yeah, major shout out to them. So we did that the other night, and it was nice, man. We were talking about it yesterday and even this morning. Like, man, we gotta get out more. It's always great to discover new stuff.
I am envious, you know, in some ways. I mean, I, of course, I love my home. I love, you know, our small town and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is home. We love Jackson and everything. But man, there is something, you know, about being in a world-class city where you have all those kind of things at your disposal. Man, that is just that is wonderful, dude. And for someone that loves culture and everything as much as you do, and I know your wife does too. Man, I'm just happy y'all get to experience that now in a world-class city like Houston. So that's great, dude. I'm happy for you.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. You know, I'm happy for you as well, because this time next week, you and I will be sitting down to record a wonderful episode. We're going to be doing a Squire Select right around the corner.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Nothing like a little day drinking, man. assuming your contractors are done.
That's right. I know, right? Yeah.
Man, it's going to be fun. We've been trying these last couple of weeks to keep y'all informed about the upcoming episodes and that sort of thing. And we want to, you know, it was important for, you know, the last few episodes and this one because of all the involvement needed from you guys to really make it happen. But, you know, I think we've gotten some positive feedback on people like to know what's down the pipeline, as it were. So yeah, look for a Squire Select next week. And then in just a very few weeks, I think about 2.5, if I'm doing my math right, man, it'll be the 49th anniversary of the Country Squire.
That's right. That's right. August 15th, we are celebrating the Country Squire's 49th anniversary. And so, man, so excited. We're going to have a big event, live music, and lots of good fellowship and everything going on that evening at the Country Squire, 6 to 9 p.m. That's Thursday, August 15th. Our dear friend Max Stokeby from Scandinavian Tobacco Group will be there, and he's going to be man, just with all kinds of you know, great tobaccos from them. Think of your favorite tobaccos from Lane, Peter Stokeby, some of the best 10 tobaccos in the world, like Escudo and Balkan Sassini, and just some of those excellent brands that we all know and love. So man, come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in the area, we would love to have you. And also, we'll be joined by some cigar brands, venerated cigar brands like Punch, CAO, and Diesel. So really excited about that. But yeah, hope y'all can come join us.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, this podcast, it's gonna be a fun episode today, and I'm really excited to dive into it. But of course, this podcast would not be made possible without the support of our amazing patrons, those of you that are club members. We've actually got quite a few new club members that next week we'll be going down the list of kind of the newcomers, but quite a few. And I wanted to kind of give a shout out and also kind of address something real quick. You know, there's one of the top tier within the Pipe Club is the Squire, the coveted yeah. Squire member.
Yeah.
And, one of the big benefits of being a Squire member is after a year of being a member, you get your name engraved on a plaque up at the wall, at the Country Squire. And so there's been kind of, you know, I know a lot of people, not everybody can kind of make their pilgrimage. And so there's been a desire to kind of have, you know, some sort of, you know, connection or acknowledgement for those that can't necessarily make that pilgrimage or won't be doing so in the near future. And so I came up with this idea, and I kind of pitched it to the Squire Lounge online with the kind of the Facebook group for the members. And so I think what we're probably going to do is on the website for those that have reached that plaque status, we're going to bolden the names, and so it'll make it pop a little yeah. bit more, and you'll be able to kind of see that. The other thing too is that for a while we Patreon actually kind of shifted their backend portal, which made things a little confusing and kind of made it a little bit more difficult for us to keep up with who's where and what's when. But fortunately, that issue has been resolved thanks to the cunning youths of math. So thanks, math. We figured it out. But anyway, so all that to say, here in the next couple of days, those of you with your name Bolden, that means you've reached that plaque status. And either your plaque is up or it's on its way, one or
yep,
the other.
That's right.
All right, man. So this is it, man. We're about to jump in. Now, John David, before we do, we got to take him back a little bit. Because this series that we dive into today, and, you know, obviously those of you who clicked on the episode, you know what it's called, Pipe Shop Fails. And we here at Country Squire Radio try and have for the past 6 years or so, whenever, however long it's been, we try to put out some positivity on the internet, which was in short supply then, and it is even less supply now. So it's at an all-time premium.
That's right. That's exactly right.
and so, like, you know, we want to talk about the good stuff. We want to kind of praise the things that we love about the community and the industry. But the reality is, there's just some stories out there that you kind of have to. sometimes you got to let your hair down. You know what I mean, John David? You got all that hair. You got to let it down from time to time.
That's right. You've got to let it down. You've got to, make sure that all the frustration and angst that gets built up, it gets to come out occasionally, right? Even when it's with one of your favorite loves, which is pipe smoking and the pipe community. And occasionally we can't just continue to gloss over all the gems of stories that that are out there that we need to reveal and process and maybe therapize a little bit. So
There it is. It's therapy, right? That's what it is. You go to the therapist, you open up, you dump out all of the stuff that's been bothering you, and then let the therapist deal with it, and then you can go about your business.
No, that's right.
It's healthy.
That's right. It's a way for us to connect all our pieces together so that we can get it out of our system and then continue to move on in grace and love.
that's exactly right. Well, so okay, in the past when we've done pipe shop fails, it's been sharing of some in general things that in general stores do, as well as John David sharing some specific things that some customers have done without necessarily revealing names. Now, this is a very special pipe shop fails because we have holistically turned the microphones over to y'all in the sense that we asked for your pipe shop fail stories. And the goal here with this is to let it open. You know, we've got folks in the industry that listen. We've got folks that are just, consumers. We've got folks from all spectrums of the pipe smoking community that tune in. And so we anticipated and kind of hoped for getting some feedback from both sides of the aisle, as it were. Both sides of the counter probably is the more accurate statement there. And we did. We got so many stories that we were already starting to build up for the next one down the line. So I'm really excited for this. But before we actually dive in, and I know everybody's ready. Everybody's got their popcorn. They're ready, man. Everybody's on the therapy couch.
All the angst is built up, right?
Ready to air the grievances and whatnot. But here's the thing, though. Like I said, we do try to put out some positivity. So before we go into the negativity, we want to encourage you to do something, and we'll remind you about this at the end of the show. For those of you that are on YouTube, who are in the YouTube pipe community, we want to encourage you to go on YouTube and create a video and put in the title Pipe Shop Wins. And with this, we want you to essentially do the exact opposite, basically brag on either your shop or more accurately tell a very specific memory or experience that you've had in your local pipe shop that they really just hit it out of the park and they're just really, really doing it right. But before we go negative, we want to make sure, and we're encouraging y'all to go positive. So head over to YouTube, use Pipe Shop Wins in the title, and be sure to mention, that this is kind of, Country Squire Radio kind of sent you and set you up to do this to really kind of shout out your local pipe community. And what we're going to do is we are going to gather those Pipe Shop Win videos and put together a playlist of anybody and everybody that does it. And it'll be a playlist that you'll be able to find through the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel as well. The only thing that we would ask is, keep a similar tone and language that you would expect with Country Squire Radio. So if it falls outside of the line of something that we would say ourselves on air, then it would not be considered part of that playlist. So keep it a positive and keep it classy. And we would love to feature that in this Pipe Shop Wins playlist.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Yep.
All right, so there we go. We've done our good. Let's get into the bad. All right, Pipe Shop fails. One thing we did too is that we basically removed the names of any specific shops and everybody is anonymous. So this first one is from quote JM. It says, "I once had a friend." Gather yourself. "I once had a friend who was the manager of an old pipe shop. We used to have grand adventures. But then he decided to buy the shop and become all fancy. And all of a sudden, he doesn't have any time and I live too far away. Pish posh." Again, that's from JM.
Too far away. He's talking about Papua New Guinea. I mean, that's not around the corner, man. Come on.
That's anonymous. John David, this is anonymous.
Okay.
All right, next one. This is from RK. RK says, "Well, I won't say the real name of the place, but let's call it the Dumpy Squire."
Dumpy Spire.
They would never. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic. The Dumpy Spire. He said they would never allow me to set up a time to come by and view their estate vapes. I find that very odd. My money is good. And again, that's from RK.
I know
Dumpy Spire.
I know who you are, RK. I know where you live.
And, you know, the final one that's kind of, these are all, it's, oddly enough, geotag. You know, we can kind of see they must be all talking about the same
shop.
Yeah,
no, here. That's right.
This is from a MVV. It says, oh boy, I got some good ones about some rinky dink place in Jackson. No glass pipes. What a fail. Again, that is from MVV.
Wow. All these anonymous people, they just, man, I wish I knew who they were so I could just, you know, go apologize and share with them how grateful I am for their patience and for being them being such wonderful. I don't know. I mean, maybe my skin's a little
this
too thin.
You think this is you? Man, you gotta let that go. All right, let's get into the real stuff. That's fun. That was fun, but now it's done. Let's dive into it. All right, this first one's coming in from JN. But John David, what did JN have to say?
Yeah, okay. So we've got so much good content today, and this is from JN. I was visiting a town for a couple of days and visited their local pipe shop. I saw a high-end, for me, pipe I was interested in purchasing, but before I got too serious, I did some online research about the pipe carver, material, etc. It was a lot of money, so I was nervous about pulling the trigger on the purchase. A few hours before leaving town, I returned to the store to take one more look at the pipe, but none of the pipe people were working, only a cigar salesman who was absolutely ignorant about pipes. I asked him if it was okay to pull the stem out of the pipe, and he stated he started getting really twitchy. He asked, "Are you serious about buying the pipe, or are you just browsing?" And I told him I was serious, so he let me do it. There was something, probably sawdust, in the stem, so I grabbed a pipe cleaner to see what was going on, and the cigar guy went ballistic. I showed him the stuff in the stem, and he grudgingly let me clean it out. After putting it back together, I asked him if it was okay to run a pipe cleaner through the pipe. That was the last straw. He strutted around complaining that this was an expensive pipe and I might damage it. So I handed him back the pipe and said if I couldn't perform a standard pre-purchase check, I had no interest in doing business with him. One of the locals finally stepped in, calmed the cigar guy down, and convinced him to let me run a pipe cleaner through the pipe. The hole in the stem and the hole in the shank didn't match especially well. I could get a pipe cleaner all the way into the bowl, but it took a lot of twisting. Under normal circumstances, the sawdust in the stem would have raised serious questions, and the pipe cleaner test would have been a deal killer. But I'm a polite Midwesterner who had just intimately violated this guy's pipe with a pipe cleaner. The cigar guy looked like a cornered cat, and the regulars were staring at us to see if I'd take three quick steps to the door if there would be a shotgun or if there would be a shotgun wedding. Out of politeness, I ended up making an honest lady out of the pipe and buying it, but against my better judgment and with a bitter taste in my mouth. It's pretty good smoker and the second most expensive pipe in my collection by a large margin, but it leaves a bit of a bad memory every time I smoke it because of the cigar guy who had never been properly trained on how to sell a pipe. And you know, that's tough, right? I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, we've got a guy that's there and, you know, he might not be exactly familiar with, you know, his ability to, you know, sell a pipe. And so, you know, he's not really letting you, you know, take it out for a spin, right? I mean, it's not like you're going to smoke it or anything, right? I mean, you want to be able to run a pipe cleaner through the pipe, correct?
Well, so here's the deal. Like the cigar guy, makes an appearance again in this list. Like, and I don't mean him specifically, but the, you know, the quote unquote cigar guy. I mean, I feel like most pipe shops these days have the cigar specialists, you know, somebody who's really more of a cigar guy than a pipe guy, but works at the shop. And, ooh, you know what? This is the airing of grievances. I'm just going to say it. I got a lot of, Listen, some of my best friends smoke cigars, okay? I'm not bashing it. I have been known to enjoy a cigar on occasion. I'm not bashing that at all.
Or smoke one and not enjoy it because you puked in the backyard.
That did not happen, but the three times. No, not at all. But here's the thing. I've been around this country, man. I've shopped at various different shops. I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of different pipe shops. And more often than not, certainly not universally, but more often than not, the cigar person, when I tell them that I'm kind of interested in pipes, I've got a pipe podcast, there is a snobbery that exists in the separation there. And I'm not saying between the connoisseurs. I'm talking about specifically in kind of the cigar guy that works at the premium tobacco shop, where there is almost like a turning up of the nose. And I don't appreciate that. I think that is a major pipe shop fail when your own like staff is turning its nose up at your potential customers. And this, I'm telling you, man, this happens. This absolutely happens. I think you're right. I know the quote unquote cigar guy.
Yeah. No, it makes good sense.
Sorry about that.
Let it out. Let it out.
No.
Moving on. We've got another one from Mo. He says, the uninformed and the apathetic blob that when you ask about pipes or tobacco, just shrugs his shoulders and says, I don't really know about pipes, without taking his eyes off the TV. I've never gone back to that shop. And so, you think like, well, maybe that's the same guy, right?
The cigar guy. Yes. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, there is a common theme here. And I hate to say the cigar guy, but like, we are going to see this throughout, that there's a separation here. And a lot of folks, you know, it's unfortunate, man, because not everybody has a country squire. Not everybody has, you know, a briar shop. Not everybody has a shop with such a, you know, yes, wonderful humidor with excellent cigars, great stick.
That's right.
But also like an appreciation and a value of pipes and pipe tobacco. Like there is a reason, even just this podcast, man, the reason why people kind of have connected to it, we've heard it time and time again, is because they long for a shop where kind of the pipe smoker can be respected and embraced as, you know, as a legitimate connoisseur, a legitimate customer.
Imagine that.
In this space. And so anyway, I'm airing my grievances. I know I started off saying we want to be positive, but this time I'm airing my grievance.
Let it out. All right, man. Coming next from R, he says, I also have a pipe shop fail I want to mention. It borders on the disgusting, but I think you can handle it. A few years ago, I moved to a new city and thought I'd take the pulse of the tobacco scene. Unbeknownst to me, this city, which shall remain nameless, had a real passion for premium tobacco, but it was almost exclusively aimed at the cigar market. I didn't realize until I walked into the shop that they really did focus their energy on cigars. The mention of cigars in the name of the company should have been a dead giveaway. I guess that's true. They did mention on their website, however, that they had an assortment of pipe paraphernalia. And so I thought I'd pop in and see what they had. It is important to note that as I'm walking in, this rather intimidating fellow was sitting on the porch of the shop smoking a cigar. As you probably guessed, they had a single shelf with maybe three or four blends on it, no bulk tobacco at all, no pipes, not even a bag of pipe cleaners. Anyway, I got a tin of Davidoff English mixture and brought it home. As I was leaving, the guy with the cigar was still there, and we communicated for a second, but long enough to make somewhat of an impression, and certainly enough to trigger one short-term memory. Later at home, when I opened my tin and the tobacco rustled, it was obvious that it was dead. Completely dry. To quote Python, it had kicked the bucket, shuffled off its mortal coil, run down the curtain, and joined the bleeding choir invisible. I guess they didn't take care of their tins too well. I decided that I would see if they would issue a return, but since I had brought it home and opened it further, I thought they would probably just say they couldn't. No problem, really, but I thought it was worth a shot. When I returned to the cigar shop, once again, the guy I had talked to was sitting on the porch. I sort of nodded my head, acknowledged the fact that I recognized him, and he nodded back in what I assumed was a similar gesture. I walked in and asked for a return and explained why. The very nice guy behind the counter said we needed to talk to the owner. So we walked back outside, you guessed it, and the cigar guy on the porch. While the salesperson talked to the owner about the return, I noticed the guy was kind of coughing into his hand and then rubbing his mouth, playing with the tapered end of his cigar. After the explanation, the owner asked for the tin, examines it, looks at the receipt, which didn't have a date on it, and tells the salesperson that they can't be sure I was there. I was in there years ago and bought that tin. as he said that, he takes his nasty cough covered mouth wiping cigar fiddling index finger and plunges it into the tobacco, digging deep down into the bottom, not leaving one leaf unturned. Boy, the sensory here is just overwhelming. He then turns to the salesperson and says not to issue a return because they can't be sure. Then he coughs into the open tin, screws the lid down, handing it back to me. Now I had useless tobacco that I couldn't even bring myself to touch, let alone smoke. I understand that you use your hands to blend tobacco, but I also didn't know that spit was an acceptable tobacco hydrator. Needless to say, I didn't smoke that tin, and I didn't go back even for a cigar match. I couldn't be sure he hadn't licked them either. Wow. What a mess, man. Some people, you know, they just don't get it. You know, premium tobacco shops that you know have a very small pipe selection, just kind of as a courtesy kind of thing. You know, they don't really have a lot of tins, and those tins, they sit there for a really long time, and so, you know, they may have popped open if someone dropped them or whatever. It's just kind of a mess, you know. So yeah, I understand, man. The least you wish they would do is at least not dig their you know, their spit covered, you know, finger through the dragged it through your delicious English blend.
so gross. And in this situation, and I know you're hating that I'm doing this, John David, it's making you so nervous, but the cigar guy is the owner. like come on, dude. Like, you know,
it's tough.
There's so many people, man. There are so many people out there who just wanted to own a cigar shop, and they're almost like comic book shop owners. Like, they didn't really go into it because of business. They went into it because they just want to sit down and grow old smoking cigars every day. Like, that's, I'm sorry. I'm going to ruffle some feathers with that, but I think that is absolutely true. Now, certainly not everybody, but you know that there are people, even people that are mildly offended right now, know there are people in the industry that are doing that.
That's
and
true.
So the end result is an unpleasant shopping experience. For, I mean, like, especially for newer consumers, like, here, what we're hearing from are mostly folks that have been, you know, are wise enough to kind of pick up on some different things, are actually educated shoppers. But you think about, like, the new shopper coming in, like, it's awful. It is very hit or miss sometimes at some of these shops.
Yeah.
When the owner is just sitting down smoking a stogie and doesn't, you know, like, oh, you know, how do I know that this didn't, clearly he's not taking care of his tins. Anyway, there it is. I'm going to get on the soapbox. I'm going to get off the soapbox. I'm going to get on the soapbox. I'm going to get off the soapbox. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think that's the final one that has the appearance of the cigar guy. But it just was so interesting to me that as I was getting these in and reading them before the show, I was like, I know this guy. I know exactly who this is.
Had that common thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are so many premium smoke shops today, obviously, that feature cigars. I mean, that's kind of the rule now. The pipe shop is the exception, right? And so, you know, you go in these places, and if they do have a few pipe-related things, you know, it's rare that a lot of the guy behind the counter even knows how to converse about them, even if he doesn't smoke a pipe, right? How to converse about it, how to, you know, speak with authority on the products and all that kind of thing. And so, yeah, it makes it tough, right? Yeah. It makes it really hard. I'd be frustrated too.
All right. So, next up, let's see. All right. This is from CD. CD says, gents, this did not happen to me, but another person in our pipe club. There's a local tobacco shop chain that is primarily a vape shop now, but still has some pipe related content. A member of ours walked in and noticed the hamster cage quality of their bulk tobacco. There are that are all in big barrels throughout the store. The member, the person who this actually happened to, asked the gentleman behind the counter how old the tobacco was, to which he replied, fresh picked yesterday. Oh, red flag.
I know, right? Oh, yeah, we picked that tobacco yesterday. We sure did, I promise. Yeah, I picked it from, like, the hamster cage, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just gross. I mean, that's just awful.
That's tough.
And this happens.
That's tough.
This is the other funny thing, is that these stories, man, they're coming from folks that are the shoppers. Historically, the pipe shop fails has been more of John David, like, from a pipe shop owner.
Venting
a little bit. So now it's not directed at you. You know, that's the thing. You know, you're good. You're good, except for the first three.
But I know, right? Yeah, let's be honest. But you know, it's good. It should keep this kind of thing should keep retailers on our toes, right?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, like you know, you've got to care for your products better. You got to care for your customers better. I mean, dude, I'd be frustrated as heck if I couldn't like run a pipe cleaner through a pipe, and then when I opened it up, if it was a $500 pipe, this was going to be one of the most expensive pipes I own, yeah. And then I realize it's full of sawdust, and then it doesn't, it's not drilled properly, and then because you're a sensitive person, you buy it out of guilt, and then you just smoke it out of shame the rest of your life. Man.
You know, I had a question that kind of came out of that one specifically with the sawdust. Like, is that an indication that something's wrong with the pipe, or does that just mean it's freshly carved, or what could that indicate?
Yeah, it could be a number of things, Bo. I have actually seen that in, not just cheap pipes, but premium pipes and all in between before. And a lot of times you'll just have that as kind of a leftover from the carving process. So, it depends on the pipe and everything. That pipe was also, it sounds like, not drilled particularly well, which is going to present its own problems. But my guess is the little bit of dust that was in there wasn't related to that. But you never know. It could have been.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right, man. This final one's kind of a special one, and there's a little bit of setup. Now, this is coming from BL. Now, again, we, for the sake of making sure that everybody was protected, we changed the name of the people sending them in. This one's coming from BL. Very hard to figure out who BL is. This is what he has to say. This all happened a long time ago at the beginning of the smartphone era, and all the people involved are no longer working in the industry. However, some of the names have been changed or omitted to protect the innocent or inept. BL goes on to say that I have never told this story publicly before, including on my very own audio-only show. So this is somebody named BL who has an audio-only show.
Who has an audio-only show. Okay.
Audio-only show. Yeah. That's right. All right, so John David, what is BL's story?
BL goes on to say, I was running a large retailer of pipes and tobaccos. A sales rep by the name of Mike was coming to make sales calls on us. Mike worked for a really large pipe manufacturer that was based in Italy, but at the time had a U.S. import office that was named the same as the Italian company. And I've been in this industry for a little bit, and I know who he's talking about. This company also sold some accessories, lighters, pipe tobaccos, and cigars. Now, this is important. Mike had to drive about 4 hours to come see us for the meeting. Mike was meeting with our buyer that had handled his product, and I decided to sit in on the visit and see for myself what he was showing. Mike arrived in our location and brought in a good assortment of pipes for us to look at. I brought my pipe to the meeting and was happily smoking it when Mike pulled out his pipe, stopped the presentation, and said, "Do you have some tobacco I can try? I forgot to bring some with me." Let's see. He said, "I offered my tin of Virginia Perique," and he replied, "That is too strong for me. Do you have anything milder? Maybe a light aromatic." We stopped the meeting. I went out of my office and grabbed a tin of something he actually sold. Mike said that was perfect. We continue the meeting and with him packing his pipe and looking over and us looking over pipes. Mike then asked for a lighter because he seemed to leave his at home. Did I mention above that the company he worked for sold lighters? Yes, I slid my lighter over to him, and when I noticed he was looking around, I rolled my tamper over to him as well. Now we are sharing a lighter and a tamper while both puffing on our pipes and looking at his product line. Did I mention the company name? Did I mention the company that Mike works for sells accessories, lighters, and tobaccos? Now we continue the meeting and are looking at samples of pipes. We begin to discuss a deal on some product that the company that Mike works for wants to close out. It's a good size purchase for us, and mostly me, wanted to know what the total purchase was going to cost us. Mike pulls out a notepad that he had in his bag and then begins digging around in his bag looking for something. He pulls his head up and then asks us if he can borrow a pen. My buyer offers Mike a pen. Yes, a sales rep that does not have a pen, but at least the company he works for does not sell pens. Just to recap, this guy peddling pipes, accessories, and tobaccos comes in without a tobacco accessory or all the accessories you need, right? Or a pen, right? To make the sales pitch with. Okay. So going on, BL continues. He says, now Mike has a pen and is doing some long form of math on a notepad. He is working hard to figure out the discounts on all the items and the total amount of the deal. This goes on for about 2 minutes, and when he begins digging in his bag again, looking for something, and then looks at us and asks if either of us have a calculator that he can use to do the math. Long story, a little shorter, I did the math on paper, and we made the deal and bought the product. About a year later, Mike called us looking for a job, and then another year later, the company that Mike worked for announced they were closing, and the Italian company was looking for a partner in the USA. None of this really surprised me at all, and no, I did not hire him.
Right. Shocker.
I know, right? As a final note for all, this is not the way you should rep a company and their product. Know your product, have all your own tools of the trade, and never ask your customer for a sample. Companies make sure your reps have all the tools they need, including basic math on paper. And finally, Mike's real name is Mike.
Oh,
BL,
snap.
BL
is savage.
He is savage. I'm gonna have to look out for his audio only show somewhere if I can find that to maybe learn more about his experiences.
Man, an audio only show with somebody from deep industry insight. Who could that be?
I don't know.
BL.
Yeah,
huh. we'll have to keep an eye out for this one. But. Listen, that's the thing, though. Overall, really, really great, really terrible stories, really, but great, terrible stories. And I think it's cathartic. I think it's good to go through and hear some of these and kind of share them. And as you said earlier, John David, it gives kind of a, it does keep retailers on their toes. And that's not a bad thing. We live in a world where competition is very, very good. And so, in an industry that oftentimes doesn't have to deal with competition as much. And so I do think there is a lot of positivity to be done in that therapizing some of those less than stellar pipe shop experiences. But, one of the things that I can almost guarantee is that you'll always get a great pipe shop experience. And that is when you go to the headquarters of our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right, man. We love Missouri Meerschaum pipes and, of course, love to talk about them every time on the show. And you will not have a bad experience with one of those. Man, such an affordable value. And they've got this this kit that you can get that is incredibly, incredibly affordable and also, very valuable and very useful. It's their 3-pipe bag of smokable seconds. And they're all legendary. Legend pipes, which is one of their most popular shapes. The smokable seconds are awesome because these are pipes that might have minor flaws aesthetically or some other way, but they're smokable. They're perfect to use. They might just not it be the one that is going to go on the shelf at your favorite tobacconist. And so Missouri Meerschaum, instead of tossing these, they sell them to you for a great price. 3 Missouri Meerschaum pipes for only $11.29, and that's 3 pipes that you can test your own tobaccos with, sample some of your favorite blends, and share with friends. If they come over and sit on the porch and didn't bring their pipe, as we talked about last week on our porch episode, man, you've got a Missouri Meerschaum second that you can put in their hands so that they can enjoy the evening with you. And so just a great offer from them. It's something they've been doing for a while. And the 3-pipe bag of smokable legend seconds is a perfect value for your next pipe purchase.
Absolutely. So hey, if you've got one, be sure to smoke your legend this week. Tweet out a picture of yourself doing so. We love to retweet those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, pipe question of the week. This one's coming in from Ron Seitz. Seitz?
Seitz?
I'm going to go with Seitz.
I bet it's Seitz.
Seitz. All right. Sites unseat. How about that?
Yep.
Because that's a thing. All right. This one's coming in from Ron. Ron has to say, do you guys tamp the ashes down as you were smoking, leave it alone after the first tamp, or do you dump the ash out as you are smoking? Wow. What a great question, Ron.
Yeah, that's good. This is probably something we've talked about or danced around before. But to answer it directly, I tamp my ashes. I tamp that ash down throughout the smoke. right? During my smoke, every few minutes, I'm going to be tamping the ashes down in the pipe. Now, occasionally, if I do have to relight the pipe, I will take, you know, just the end of the check tool or the end of my pipe nail and just kind of scrape the very white powder ash just very gently to disturb it, just so I can tip it over and let it fall out on its own. But I never really dump lots of ash or lots of tobacco out. Except in that case. I'm going to be, you know, tamping the ashes down, on my pipe throughout the smoke, just to, you know, continue to, build that little campfire that's baking in that oven that is your pipe bowl, and it'll help it stay lit. So, that's what I do. And, I'd be interested to see if that helps you out too, Ron.
Yeah. I mean, same. It's interesting. I don't think I've ever asked that question, but that is like, that's the same kind of process I do. Although I will say every single time that like I scrape out the ash to relight, I always wonder, is this normal? Like, is this a sign of like personal failure that I'm doing something wrong, or is this actually what you're supposed to do?
So yeah.
I really appreciate that question, Ron. I'm sure a lot of, especially new pipe smokers, appreciate that as well. So, hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send that in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. Jones! Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions brought to us by Country Squire Radio t-shirts, available at thecountrysquireonline.com. Now, these are coming in from Stephen Mario Joseph Cardello. Now, he sent us in kind of a nice list. And so we did the first half last week.
Yeah.
With this half this week. Are you ready, sir?
Yep. Bring it.
Okay. One of these I already know. Anyway, here we go. Latakia or Perique?
Perique. Probably 7.5 or 8 times out of 10, Perique.
Yeah. Now you got the hometown advantage or home area advantage.
Yeah.
So Perique all the way. Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox. I haven't played video games in a very long time, at least not console video games. But back in the day when I did, I was an Xbox kid, and I'll stick with that out of brand loyalty.
That's good. Okay. You know, we had a some folks from church over the other night, and the kids were up here playing the Nintendo Switch. And you know, one of the kids, when he was leaving, he told his mom, he's like, "I want a Nintendo Switch," and she said, "Well, when you're old enough, you can buy yourself one." And he's like, "Well, it's not fair." And I was like, "Look, kid, you know what? My mom used to say that to me all the time. So you know what I did? I grew up, I got a job, I made some money, and I bought every single video game console. I got a PlayStation in my room, an Xbox in the sunroom, and the Nintendo upstairs for the kids. So yeah, I got all of them."
That's good. That's great. That's probably really encouraging to him.
Yeah, hopefully. I think I may have made him jealous, but it was fine. It was fun. Xbox. Like all of my gameplay goes to Sea of Thieves. This is no secret. I play that pirate game like it ain't like it's going out of style. And that is exclusively on Xbox and PC at the moment. So Xbox for me. All right, here's the one. Apple versus Android.
Apple.
Do you want to just go into your rants? I mean, like, this is the airing of grievance episode.
Look, I just switched back over to an iPhone, right? I adopted the Samsung Galaxy. I was so excited about it. It's something I wanted to like. I was so tired of Apple and all its cutesy little shtick, you know. And so I switched over to Samsung with all great fanfare and authority. And I'm just so excited. And I've been, you know, geeking out about all its features and everything. And then I get over there and I'm just frustrated and lost and angry and bitter and regretful. And so what happened? We talk about its own fails episode. What happened is about a month ago, I dropped my Galaxy on the floor of the Country Squire, and the case that was on the phone did not protect the screen that it was designed to protect, and so the screen shattered. It was one of those things where I now was stuck with this phone, and you know, I was like, okay, well, I'll just go get a new screen put on it. You know, you can take your iPhone to these places around here and get a new screen for 40, 50 bucks. Sure. Like, surely I can go get a new screen for my Android for, you know, 40 or 50 bucks. I take my Samsung S9 in to get a new screen, and it was going to cost me $275 to get a new screen for a phone that I despise. And I price checked it like in multiple places around town. I was like, no, I'm going to take my pill. I'm going to stick with this phone through the contract and all that stuff. And so I was like, well, I can just go buy a used iPhone for that amount. And so that's what I did. I switched back to Apple, and I have an older iPhone, and I'm happy as a clam.
All right. Now, there you go. I mean, that it ended up having a pseudo happy ending. The reality is, man, when you're forced to crawl your entire life and you get the opportunity to run, you're going to be frustrated because you're like, what is this? This is awful. I didn't want to crawl again. But, so I understand that, man. And I'm glad that you're crawling again, some people weren't meant to run.
It's like kind of, maybe I'm not meant to run, Bo. Maybe I'm meant to, go back to mother's milk. But dude, I'm just done. I can't, for those of you that are, these whiz kids that want to, trick your phone out and have all this really, exquisitely defined settings and all this kind of stuff, man, that's great. You get your Galaxy and your Android and you just customize it as much as you want. But for those of us that want to get on our phone, like our cat videos and then get off, like, give me my iPhone. Done. Rant. End rant.
No, that's good. Android for me. All right, and then finally, apples versus peaches.
Boy, I'm really tempted to say apple here because of the previous question. But man, I think I'm actually going to go with peaches on this. There, peaches. Okay, yeah, summertime to me is like peach cobbler with like a big dollop of vanilla ice cream on top. Like that's where it's at. That's followed by like a big pipe full, sitting on the porch, maybe of, your favorite peach tobacco. We've got a couple at the Squire that we sell, but, man, that sounds good. Yeah. I'm gonna go with peaches.
Yeah. That's a good choice. It is kind of a seasonal thing. Cause I mean, like, as you get into the winter, like, some nice, apple pie
with Thanksgiving and stuff. Yeah.
Sure. But no, peaches all the way. They're delicious and they're easier to eat. I find they're just, I don't know. Apple, I feel like the apple skin always gets stuck in the teeth. Peaches are just delicious, juicy, and awesome.
I love them.
So, yeah. So there we go. Those are our quick fire questions. Thanks, Stephen. Hey, if you got some quick fire questions, be sure to send them in to us. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right. This was coming in from Nelson Pigeon. Now, Nelson is an actual pigeon, but a pigeon who smokes a pipe. I think that's neat. I'm just kidding, Nelson.
Nelson is a fantastic pigeon and a longtime friend. Yep.
All right, man. This is what Nelson has to say. He said, hey, guys, first of all, great show with Lee. Heard more about him years ago, but not so much lately. So it was nice to get caught up. Of course, this is the interview episodes that we did a few episodes back. He says, I need to go check out his website again. Also, I need some clarification. I've always heard his name pronounced like Irk, but you guys are pronouncing it like Eric. Have I been saying it wrong all these years? Bo, can you tell me the name of the artist that does your outro music? Better yet, could you send me a copy? I love that tune to listen to all the way to the end every single time. I wish it was a little bit longer and would like to find more music like it. Thanks to both of you for all the hard work that you put into this great show. Nelson, aka The Pigeon.
Yeah. Man, Nelson, a great, great friend of the show. He's been with us for several years now. We love him and always love hearing from him. You know, he sent in a custom Cobb a couple Christmases ago, which was great.
That's right.
But my understanding is it's actually Irk, Lee Von Irk. But we, as drawly people who regularly mess things up, have been saying Eric, Lee Von Irk. So just be patient with us and gracious. But I'm pretty sure it is Lee Von Irk, and we do appreciate Lee for being so kind.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest. You're not anybody if you're not anybody if we haven't mispronounced your name on the show.
Yeah,
right.
No,
I mean, like,
right.
It's a rite of passage. I'm just kidding. Oh man, so our apologies to Lee if we messed that up. We probably did hardcore. But you know what? I will say this, man. Living up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I am sure he's been called Eric before.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
that's probably, I bet at some point in his life, he just stopped correcting people because it was just going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I've heard pedastry so many times. I get it. I don't even correct anybody when they say pedastry. I'm like, well, you're talking about it. So
yeah, no, that's good. Like, that's good. It's like when people call me John and I'm like, I hate being called John, but you know what? Yeah. At least you're talking about me. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Speaking of which, the other part of this question in terms of our outro music, you know, when we started Country Squire Radio, it was one of the first shows that Podastereo ever produced. And in those early days, I did not have the extensive catalog of music available or even the access to original compositions available that I do now. And so that, my friend, is straight up from the GarageBand free-for-all music.
Wow. Is it really? Dang. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of those shows, you know, the legacy shows, I guess the only two legacy shows at this point still have the Apple Music, and that's this one and Flash TV Talk. And it's funny because we had one that has since been shut down and kind of merged into Flash TV Talk called Panel to Screen. And that one also used the Apple Music. And it was so bizarre because people would write into the show and say, like, they're using your theme song on this, like, car commercial. And I'm like, no, they're just being really cheap like we were. So it's Apple Music. You know, fortunately, I got to mention this, too, with a lot of our songs, a lot of the theme musics, when we updated, a friend of the show, Charlie Bach, actually took the concept of the Apple Music and recomposed it with some original stuff. And so we actually use that now for when we do the Panel to Screens, his original music.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. The thing is with this, though, like it's become so second nature that it feels almost wrong to update it. The same thing's too with the voiceover, with the bumper yep. girl coming in and saying yep. the names and of everything.
Bumper
it's
girl.
Not as quality. It's my wife.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's not as quality.
I don't know if I'd tell her you said that.
That's what she used to call herself. In fact, I actually have a signed
bumper girl.
Man, she autographed a picture for me and it said, call me sometime, you know, dash bumper girl. And it's her, her picture.
That's great.
Yeah, but anyway, so even though the quality of those is not up to par with kind of modern stuff, you know, it's just kind of warts and all loving it that has kind of kept me from updating.
Yeah, it's part of our theme, right? I mean, it's like you know when they update the intro to your favorite show or something, you're like, hey, wait a minute, it wasn't like that last season.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But anyway, and then finally, man, this next one's coming in from Ryan Tulloch. What did Ryan have to say?
Ryan says, I'm so excited to be a squire now. It's truly an honor, and even if I didn't have to buy the honor. Also, since I know Bo doesn't get many things right when he's reading, I just thought I'd let you guys know that Bo did, in fact, get my last name right, or pretty close.
Booyah!
Right out of the gate. It descended into madness thereafter, but JD's quick mind and sharp Mississippi intellect, sharp as a dull tack, to help bring things back under control. And he executed the Tulloch perfectly and without flaw. So congrats to you both on what seems to be a difficult last name. Ryan, and that's from Ryan Tulloch.
See? They know what's out here in these pipe streets, man. They know what's up.
Pipe like, streets. This is, oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh man.
This is how it is. No, not, they're like, okay, it's Bo and John David. Did they say it right?
No,
we missed it. Yeah. Get your meerschaum pipe with Lee Eric.
Meerschaum.
That's
Lee Eric. Yeah. And Ryan Tulloch. Yeah. mercy. Man. Yep.
That's what we need, man. That needs to be the next Country Squire Radio t-shirt. Like, I wrote into the Country Squire and Bo mispronounced my name 30 gazillion times.
Yeah.
something of that.
And then got the t-shirt.
Bo can't even read this t-shirt. Yeah. Anyway, great listener feedback and honestly great feedback throughout this episode. Hey, I want to once again remind you kind of the call to arms that we're putting out there. You know, as we kind of put together and asked for these negative pipe shop experiences, we want to encourage and empower y'all to go out there and tell some positive pipe shop
stories. Find the good ones. Find the good ones.
Absolutely. So head over to YouTube. Even if you've never made a YouTube video, you know, why not? Go on, record yourself telling a pipe shop win story. Put pipe shop wins as the title. You might even want to put the name of that pipe shop in the title as well. Yeah. And, you know, ideally, you know, send those to us. We'll be kind of scanning and searching and doing that sort of thing. But if you can email links to your videos, we'll be collecting all of those in a playlist that people will be able to find on the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel. Yeah. So a great way to, especially for those of you that are YouTube pipe creators and community people, you know, we've wanted to figure out ways, how can we kind of show some love to y'all as well? And so, you know, hopefully this will kind of give a chance to kind of collect some of those videos and some of those personalities that are out there. And more importantly, really tell some of these great experiences that are going on in these pipe shops. Cause you know, if we got to go negative, man, we got to double down on the positive. So
that's right, man. Bo, I love it. I love the concept. I love the idea. You know, of course we've got to have some fun at the expense of our bad, you know, pipe shop, you know, experiences and the doggone cigar guy that doesn't want to answer our questions or, you know, run his nasty finger through the tin of, Davidoff tobacco or whatever. But, you know, man, there are so many good experiences to be had at a pipe shop. That's why we got into this industry. That's why we love it and continue in it and want to be a part of it and are associated with it. So, man, I just think this is a great opportunity to showcase your local tobacconist or tobacconist that you visited that you just had a really good experience with. So, man, take your videoing, take it there or maybe just, you know, while you're sitting down smoking your pipe, share some experiences at your favorite tobacconist that you like to tell the world about. We want the world to know about those places and to experience them as well.
That's right. That's right. And hey, by the way, if you thought that I went a little bit too hard on the quote unquote cigar guy, if you happen to be the cigar guy at your pipe shop, you listen, send your frustration on directly to me. My email is John David. But seriously though, like we'd love to hear that feedback as well. Show at CoacherSquireRadio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week on Twitters. I'm at the real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at _CountrySquire.
Of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, the Pipe Shop Fails episode is always kind of a popular one. I'm glad that we were able to figure out a way to put a positive spin on it.
I know, man. We're just dogging folks so bad. It's like, well, let's try to look at the positive. Let's see what silver linings we can find. And no, I think it'll be good. It's always funny though to hear different folks' experiences. And you got to keep these retailers on their toes. You know what I'm saying?
No, I already know what's going to happen because we've got so many stories for the next one of this series that you're going to just start like calling up other shops and be like, okay, what you got? Let's we need to balance this out here. All right, man. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.